the order
Yeah.
so
All
far
right.
for.
So my name is Kyler Brown.
Thank
I'm
you.
calling the meeting to order. I usually don't do roll call. Do you mind doing it?
Chairman Brown,
Present.
Commissioner Preston, Commissioner Bringle,
Present.
Commissioner Chaplunker, Lowe's, Graham, and Walfeld are not present yet. Therefore, we do not have a quorum at this time. We also have Executive Director Darian Marion Brown with us. Say that right? Sorry. Burton. That's what it is, not Brown. Burton.
You got to make all three of your names rhyme. That way people will mess up the last one. Darian, Marion, Barry. That would be dope. You're a marketing guy. Oh, yeah?
I'm spelt wrong.
No.
Spelt like permanently in my life, like all of my birth certificates. So I
Yeah.
talk to my parents up. They will say, "Who is Darian? We have a child named
Oh,
Garrett."
my God.
And it doesn't rhyme, it's not as cool.
There you go.
So, like, either I'm gonna change Marion to Marin
Yeah.
and Burton to Bear.
Mar Baron? Baron? Hey, you
Darian
know what?
Marion
You
and
might
Darian
be a baron in
Marion
the future, man. I can see it happening. If anyone in this room is going to be a baron, it's going to be you.
Marin.
Totally.
Correct. Correct.
Oh my God, you are full of surprises. Every time I talk to you, there's something new. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This guy. Well, I will go ahead. Public comment. I know we had someone. Was there anything that was sent in? Is there any public comment from the public? Anything on chat or anything? Man, I hope the person's okay. Getting hit by a train usually.
Unfortunately, we don't know.
Not good.
Usually,
you know, it says in the meeting minutes that Katie Lowe's arrived at 6:08 last time too.
So this is a
I
habit,
just
you're
want that in
saying.
the minutes that she's consistently late. Nothing in the minute, nothing in the chat though. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was just checking.
And then I got 5.
I want
3 minutes coming.
I definitely want everyone's exact time
We
noted in the
will
minutes.
certainly note arrival times if you'd like.
It's just nice to see you. So we're going to shelve three until we have a quorum. But if anyone had any questions on the minutes, let us know. We're going to shelve four because Tim and Katie were actually part of the subcommittee that met with Matt and Jessica to go over some of the RFPs concerning the broker services. We can talk about five. I think there's nothing to vote on there, and it's something that soon to be Baron and myself met and had a discussion. You know, so one of the issues we have in all small communities, but certainly in rural forests, is, you know, how do we help the small businesses in the area, which are always been impacted ever since, you know, forever, but certainly since COVID. We think one of the ways that we can do it is by having a, you know, kind of a downtown area, a walkable downtown area. You know, we've been trying to put together something here on Lake Street. There's an idea that was kicked around at a previous meeting that I think has some legs to it. At the Memorial Day parade, we have most of River Forest that attends. I don't know if you guys remember the conversation that we had. Pretty much that's the one event that we have a ton of people located and involved and it ends right here at Keystone. Darian, I think, was the one who, I think we were talking about it, and you came up with the idea that we could do, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think you have four different business groups that you have different events for, perhaps. And then we thought maybe this could be one for veteran-run businesses. That's right, right? So the idea would be, and we'd work in conjunction with the chamber, and do what we could with the village. I just kind of want to talk to you guys about it. At that, you know, the parade ends at Keystone. We have a ton of people that kind of funnel out there, and some people watch the parade elsewhere, but everyone's out. If we could maybe do something where we have a business fair, I guess, a booths, you know, whatever that would look like. And do it specific to, since it is Memorial Day, we could look at working with veteran businesses in the Oak Park River Forest area, of which I'm assuming we can. Do you have the database on them? Like, who you do? Why am I still talking? So I'm going to turn it over to you just because I'm at a loss for kind of words on how this would look. But the idea would be is we'd have some booths. Maybe we'd, you're probably better at this than I am. The people could come talk about their businesses, something. These are the seeds, right? So I'm trying to think of exactly what it would look like, but.
Yeah, if I had to envision what it would like to be, I would say, right, like.
Oh, sorry.
There's a little button.
Can you push the button?
No. Oh, I feel so official.
Mm-hmm. You want to gavel?
Oh, no, I'm good. I don't want those kinds of responsibilities. Yeah. So, you know, if I had to venture to guess what this would look like today, probably about 20 different vendors from different, veteran-owned businesses. I don't know exactly how many veteran-owned businesses that we have specifically. So that is like one, area that I'm kind of trying to explore a little bit. But I think this also similarly would work really well with just River Forest-based businesses in general. Right, obviously with the prioritization for those veteran-owned folks, maybe ensuring that they have a little more special placement, designation, things like that. I do want to keep in mind, right, this is in River Forest, so I'd prefer to have primarily River Forest businesses. We do a lot for the Oak Park business community, and so I'm always looking to figure out how we help the folks on this side of Harlem. I'm thinking vendors, maybe some food trucks, maybe some live music, just something to really keep that community spirit going. I think that looking at the Memorial Day parade and how big it is, I think that tacking onto that event and having some type of like just community party as part of that, I think becomes really beneficial. That's just kind of where we are. I don't know what next steps look like. I can put together kind of what a hypothetical budget for something like this would look like. It's not a fairly substantial investment. It's really just getting tables and chairs to doing some marketing behind it. But given the chamber's ability to market things, that's something that comes baked into this idea. So, I think it's a fairly low cost way to really have a home for businesses in River Forest. So yeah, that's the idea, and open to thoughts, comments, questions, and how we can get this off the ground.
What about if we did veteran-owned businesses in the Oak Park River Forest community and River Forest businesses, those being the two,
Yeah.
So if it's so you could highlight that if it's in the area, veteran, they could come, and then the other ones would be River Forest. So as you're saying, you want to make sure we're concentrating on River Forest as much as we can.
Yeah.
But then also do anyone in the area that's within your boundaries that is a vet-owned business, something like that.
Yeah, I would want to work on how we define what our area is,
yeah.
Right? Because the chamber doesn't technically have a border. Mm-hmm. We have folks from Forest Park, folks from Elmwood Park that all join our chamber.
I know the main guy I know, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the main guy I happen to know is Plating and Sam's.
Yeah.
Eric is a veteran. Great business. It's in Forest Park, but a lot of people in Oak Park River Forest use them.
Yeah.
And he's always in on things like that. So I think he'd be a really good fit.
Yeah.
Okay. Any thoughts? Hey, sir. Oh, buddy. No. I am. I heard the news. So we moved on to just number five. Can we edit the roll call to? Yeah. So the idea, I'll catch you up real quick. well, we were kicking around before at a different meeting. You know, we're always trying to find ways to help small businesses. It's difficult, right? And one of the ideas was on the Memorial Day parade, we get a lot of people out in the area. The parade happens, and it does just sort of fizzle out. Like, I'm in the parade, and it does just fizzle out at Keystone, right? But people end up at Keystone, and then they sort of walk home. They find the other relatives, and they, you know, whatever. I think
so.
I'm,
we feel if we take you out of the parade, it
can't be worse. No. But we'll, the idea would be is that we have some sort of venue there for businesses, and specifically maybe local veteran-owned businesses and then local River Forest businesses. But we could highlight that, it being Memorial Day. And that's one of the areas that the chamber currently does not have a specialized day for. That is probably a good group. I think it would be easy to identify some of those businesses. I think it would be a low-cost thing. And it's something that may work, mm-hmm. and it's something that may not work. The cost outlay probably wouldn't be that much. And if it does work, maybe it's something we can build on. And we don't have anything like that. We have nothing that highlights businesses like that in a public way. So, yeah.
That's a nothing to lose proposition.
Yeah.
Right?
All good.
No. Yeah.
You entice with, you know, handouts and.
Yeah.
Food or something, and music. Honestly, I mean, actually, if you think about the parade, a lot of it is publicity for some of the businesses.
Totally.
But, you know, a captive audience like that, I don't know a lot of the vendors here. That would be nice to have at the end.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be great. Yeah, you've got people that are funneling through it.
And now, I think one of the things is the Park District runs that parade.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the Park District and the Kiwanis Group, and the village partners with them. So this wouldn't entirely be a village decision.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I think that this would be something they might be interested in, especially if we're talking about food trucks, maybe a financial investment to help support this from the chamber or however we end up working that out. I think that that would be something that might be appreciated. I know they ended it this year with hot dogs and some things, and the hot dogs were free, so wasn't making money off of it, but somebody paid for the hot dogs. So I think it, unfortunately, we have, you know, what, 10 and a half months to plan it. So we can certainly reach out to the Park District and see what they would think.
Yeah, and if you need myself to be a part of any of those conversations with those groups, please let me know. Because I do think we do have 10 and a half months, but might as well start asking now.
Yeah.
You know,
they start planning for it earlier than you think. So,
I bet. And the fact that, the parade does sort of highlight businesses to begin with. So a lot of those people, we could literally look at the list of the people on the parade. I have it from last year.
Yeah.
And be like, would you guys want to have a booth at the end here? I think.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Maybe it doesn't work, but it can't hurt.
It's worth asking. Yeah. Right.
And I'll say we've done this with the Village of Oak Park for their Juneteenth celebration and the Black Business Fair. Mm-hmm. We've piggybacked on different holiday events. So, like, it definitely is a model that, like, we're very comfortable with executing. And we just have the resources to do so. Generally, we generally say if you're a member, you get to do both and everything in each community. If you're a business, because that's kind of how our membership works. It also does depend on who's funding it. I have gotten requests that we keep it to certain community businesses, just because that's tax dollars and all those things, and I just like. I do it with the people who are writing me checks. Tell me.
I think that's a pretty good idea. Okay. Well, next steps there then would be what? Reaching out to the Park District. And maybe throwing all of us on an email after an initial conversation. Maybe we could get together either for a coffee or a Zoom call and just preliminary. Talks.
And I'm happy to reach out to Mike. We have a fairly good working relationship as well. More than happy to send an email and get the ball rolling.
Okay. And then I don't like necessarily coming up with an idea and then dumping it on people. So let's make sure it's whatever you need from us, whatever we need from you. I don't know. We'll figure out who leads it, but
yeah,
I really appreciate this input, but just joining us and already we're doing more here. Nothing against Liz. She was absolutely fantastic, but I think it's a cool idea. Do we have a quorum?
Yes.
Okay.
You want to make a motion to approve the minutes?
Yes, that's what I was going to do. Did anyone get everyone have any questions? I didn't have them. I looked through them. They looked very detailed.
They were sent in the packet.
Move to approve the committee minutes from May 1, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next order of business is number 4. We skip to 5. Discussion regarding the request for proposals of broker services. There was 5 proposals that were presented to the village. The 3 that then we had a subcommittee of Tim and Katie that kind of looked through them and found, well, here, you know, Tim, I mean, I know what happened, but give you a chance to
in here. I think in general they were responsive as brokers would respond. So I think they hit most of it. I think kind of high level, some of them all missed the redevelopment aspect of it. And it was more, we'll put it out and market and, you know, be transactional. I think we're interested in both, not only just selling, but developing. So that becomes a key component. And I think I would say most of them kind of missed that piece.
When you're saying like they were just looking at like, hey, this property, here's what we could do for this property there.
No, they weren't even specific. There were a couple
of
some of them mailed it in.
Okay.
So some of them were just, some of them actually put some stuff together. There was one interesting one, small broker, but seemed well-connected in community development. So that was one that kind of was highlighted. There was also some standard bigger brokers that I think some of them did a little bit more work than others.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was just, okay, here's our broker's package. Somebody even sent the contract, sign here. We'll start tomorrow. You know, 6%, whatever it may be, percentage. And it's like, okay, hang on. Did they read that we're actually interested in driving the right development? And that isn't just transactional. So,
partnership.
And I think part of it, though, is we have to discuss, I think, as a group, is how do we get to that? Whether are they going to just bring a developer? Well, when they market, they have to market it almost as an RFP, I would think. Mm-hmm. Like, here's what we're looking for in terms of development and, you know, and transaction stuff and real estate. And then I think it's probably us and the board, right, that would have some input on a redevelopment agreement that comes out of it. I assume this leads to a redevelopment agreement and a sale, purchase and sale, right?
Ideally, yeah.
I don't think you're just going to do purchase and sale and like, right? And I think,
oh, no. So it's because we are the village, we're obviously interested in selling the property. We don't want to maintain whatever ends up going there. That the village wants to sell the property and be done with it. But then because we're the village, we also have to be worried about what gets developed there and how that process goes forward. So there is a certain point where we sell it and go, now it's your property. But then we go, okay, so what are you going to, like, there's a conversation that simultaneously takes place and they go, okay, I don't know. We're going to put a horse farm there. Okay, well, how many horses are you going to have? It has to fit a certain space. You know, so like
the code. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean,
we have our way.
Right.
You know, to bring that perspective from obviously and I don't know the outcome. Like, I don't even know. Sure. But any potential, I mean, this is just for the broker.
Mm-hmm.
Any buyer, no buyer close unless they have really brought their plan to the village, made sure everybody's comfortable with it, because it costs a lot of money.
Right.
And they're not going to close without a really good feeling that they're going to get permits. And
right. Like, that's what I'm saying. They're the simultaneous conversation.
That's what I'm getting at. There's a redevelopment process. Hey, here, you're over here.
Make note that
there's a redevelopment agreement tied to the. Usually that happens first, and then you get to the final purchase and sale. But and that well, part of that redevelopment agreement will specify terms and everything, but also commitments in terms of development plans and all that. I think what was missing is that sort of that piece of it on a lot of.
Did that surprise you? You think it's going to kind of fail?
No, I mean, again, there was one firm, maybe two, that kind of came back with some notion of that. The others, I think, we just mailed it in.
There were some that I had some pretty in-depth conversations with as well. So I'd be hopeful that those are the two that had some idea of really what we're looking for.
I think what we suggested was that we take and go do a quick follow-up with all of them to say, all right, here's let's refine if it's not clear of the objectives, but this is what we think is probably the process. How do you participate in that? I mean, again, so, Tom had that. And,
yeah.
And I owed you some questions Monday, too.
No worries. So before we go too much further, yes. I do want to say there, like Tim said, there were five proposals that we received. We've decided to move forward with three of them. And Walt, one of them is the company that you're associated with. So just to, out of an abundance of caution, to make sure that everybody, it's very clear that we are doing everything we can to avoid the appearance of a conflict. I do want to be careful what we're saying with Walt at the dais.
abstain, I can walk out. Whatever you
correct.
Probably a good idea to have you abstain or walk out just for this portion, which is unfortunate because you probably have the best insight to this.
Right. It's
we want to make sure, and I want this kind of on the record, you understand there's some idea that the people of these committees are doing anything more than like caring about the village of River Forest and putting their time in to try to help, that God forbid there's like business that's being generated from this, and that we're all in this together in some way behind people's back. And as we all know, that's the farthest thing from the truth. And it's very annoying that there's the thoughts out there that are otherwise, but I think to be just as clear as possible.
Totally get it.
Yeah. Which is silly, but makes sense, right?
Absolutely. No, so I'll step out. You guys just get in.
Thank you. That's perfect. Sure. Honestly, the lawyers did advise me that as long as you were not sitting at the table with the potential for voting on this, which we're not voting on it tonight, so that's fine. You would be welcome to sit in the audience.
You can
stay in the room.
You're not getting out of here.
Actually, Walt, my attorney said that you couldn't be in the first row, though. So, no. So the three, well, one of them is JLL.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is App Properties, and then SVN. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense, as you guys were mentioning, to have another meeting, just if for nothing else, so that all three people fully understand what it is we're looking for, because they might not have brought it to the, I talked with SVN. They worked very hard. They turned something in very quickly. I think they had some good idea. I talked with App Properties back and forth quite a bit because they kept on calling saying, hey, what are you guys looking for? They ended up turning theirs in late. So, we pushed it back for them so we could get it in there. I think those three were the ones that made the most sense just because of their size, right? And what were your thoughts on it? Katie, you were there too. I mean, was there a reason you picked those three, I guess, as ones to move forward with?
And we're allowed to talk about that.
Please make sure you're not muted. Generally, we can talk about, yes, what you liked in the proposals for the most part.
We need to go to an executive session, too. We can do that as well.
Well, actually, that's actually part of our the next steps that we had talked about. I did get some feedback from the lawyers, and the executive exception that would allow us to have that conversation is specifically regarding the discussion of purchase price, or I'm sorry, sale okay. price, sale yeah. of the land. The broker is a step removed from that. I think we would all agree. So that would not be allowed to occur in executive session. So the plan at this point, in order to get the information that we did think was important to ask of the applicants is we will be for you guys can be on this again, or we can have other members of the committee, but no more than two, that would interview, actually invite them into Village Hall to present a more focused Two River Forest plan in order to hopefully figure out some of those. How are you actually going to market this land? Because that is something that we identified as missing, that specific information that we were hoping for. We didn't really feel in all of the proposals. So Matt and I and two members of the EDC would listen to all three of them. And then at a future date, that one would be discussed with this committee, and then why that committee or subcommittee, I suppose, is making the recommendation of this is company A that we would like to bring to the village board.
And I think that's actually a subcommittee I'd like to be a part of.
Sure.
If we can make the timing work, mm-hmm. I think that would make sense.
Yep, that's fine. So I would just need one more volunteer to sit on that subcommittee.
Happy to do it, unless they want continuity.
I'll do it if you want continuity. But
I think it makes sense to have, as much as I like you on there, yeah. I think it makes sense. Just you saw the original ones, and
so the second,
because Katie would probably show up late anyways. It's in the meeting minutes. We actually noticed the last meeting there was another incident, but
this was my fault.
I'm just messing around. Okay, so I don't know what we can or can't talk about
at this point. I mean, we do want to be sensitive to the fact that these three companies have provided us at least a glimmer into their marketing strategy, and so we do have a certain sensitivity to proprietary information. So we do want to be kind of careful about that. But it might be best just to reserve all of our opinions until a future date.
That makes
just
sense.
To be very safe.
Well, I guess for those that won't be involved in the, I mean, you know, one of my thoughts, one of the things that I'm hoping that they see is, yes, we're looking for them to market a piece of property. Mm-hmm. For development, but to understand what this, I mean, they should probably meet with someone like Household. They should probably see what were some of the things that we've looked at, some of the mm-hmm. You know, to have some idea, not only for that property, but for all the properties that we're looking at as possible development sites, and to understand River Forest itself, you right. know what I mean? And right. what we're looking for. I'd like them to ideally be a partner for decades, in a great situation where something comes in, they're the ones who are handling it because they've handled the other ones so well. To me, it makes perfect sense to have some sort of brokerage arm for the village, especially if we're going to be in a position where we're buying property or we're taking over property. We're not equipped to handle that as a small village and as this committee. So to me, they should understand that. That whole picture, it's certainly not a transactional one.
Well, it would be.
It will be multiple.
But there's stuff that leads into it. I agree with you completely. I think that's where I think, going back with a little bit of clarification, I think you're right. You point to the comprehensive plan. There's visions that were done. I mean, there's enough in there that you could put together a pretty good development brief that would then be part of the sale. People understand what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
There's also prior RFPs. I mean, there's stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff that they could package pretty quickly into what I would call, basically a development brief or an opportunity brief that goes with the sale.
And is it any conflict having Household Group involved in this? I can't imagine there would be, considering that they're current consultant.
No, I mean, to the extent you need it, yeah. I mean, again, we could, yeah.
I just think
he did schemes for the combined sites. I mean, we did that in the last go around. There's probably.
It seems like better than having them. We already have some vision of the sites, and it's on his. Unless we have all that information and that we can have someone that can run through it all, and show the broker, I think it would make sense to have. Personally, unless there's some conflict, I'm not.
I can't think of a conflict at this point, but I think if.
I mean, he's a consultant. He's a consultant.
He's currently the village planner, and I think that there's. Absolutely, it would make sense for us to lean on the experts that we've hired.
Yeah, but it goes, and one of the proposals was very specific to one site, and that was sort of, well, hang on, what about the others? And
right.
Just so you know, like it was very clear those other sites were all in there. So, and I think to that end, John, if it's John or somebody, could quickly go through here's what we looked at in the comprehensive plan.
Right.
Here's the character of this district and the corridor. Mm-hmm. We can opine a little bit on that. I've been involved in that for a long time.
Maybe for sure.
TIF districts and all that. So. Anyway, I think it'd be good. And it's the four, right? Four sites and any others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know some of them, I know a couple of them, like two of the sites asked questions and, you know, they were, okay. So I'm leaving on vacation for 2 weeks, of course, but, can't be soon.
Could that
enough.
Be in the minutes, please?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's unavailable.
You notice I did it not during, I moved my family vacation so I wouldn't miss an EDC meeting. It's not true.
That was one of the things we actually discussed is how do we keep things moving along and not like delay the business unnecessarily. And in addition, kind of with what we were just talking about is what are we, as someone who responds to RFPs all day, so how are we also being respectful of if we're only choosing one broker, how are we being respectful of everyone's times and what we're asking them to prepare so that we can make an informed decision, but not, you know, asking for hours and hours of these brokerages' time and free work.
Well, that's a good point. And then what is the process, Jessica? So the subcommittee will come back. They'll go from 3 to 1. They'll come to present. And then does it go to the village board? Is there another body that needs to be involved before the town formalized?
So it would be from the EDC to the village board. Since we're talking a broker and not a developer, the developer has to go through planning, ZBA,
before to just kind of take the recommendation, so they wouldn't need to meet with the broker and all that. They just leave that to us.
They might choose to because the board is the one who finally executes the contract. But what would happen is we would have the contract that we've fleshed out at that point. I would write a memo to the village board explaining this is what we did. This is how we arrived at this point. We've interviewed these three. This is the number one. I would probably ask for the subcommittee to attend the village board meeting in the event that there were additional questions, and then let them, you know, at that point they could choose not to sign the contract because they needed more information, or they just didn't want to, or they would sign the contract.
Makes sense.
I mean, yeah, that would, and then at that point it would be similar to other village contractors where then we would then move forward with, okay, these are your next steps with your, you know, with that specific purpose in mind.
Well, I think that makes a ton of sense. I think, you know, there's three brokers. The brokers are probably liking their odds. You know, sometimes those guys are up, there's 10 on the board. You know what I mean? But we got to be upfront with them. You know, this is whoever it's going to be. Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't work out. We don't want to burn any bridges. These are all people that are interested in it. They're people I know in some cases and people we all know. So I think we'd be, to your point, very upfront with them. You know, I don't think we need them to do a ton of research as much as we just need to have conversations with them. And I don't think they need to prepare much more than they've already prepared. Maybe we could say, hey, this is what we're thinking.
But
that's what I think we need to clarify. Yeah. How are we asking them to prepare more?
I would say, in a few sentences, say this is what, again, we're looking for, you know, in a conversation or via email that expands from what you did. We'd like to have a conversation about it.
I think where we ended up, right, was probably a few questions, clarifying questions that they could answer in advance and then we meet. And I don't, you know, that way at least we have a heads up.
Yeah.
Because I agree, this is to get a broker. We want to get development. So not that we're going to push it, but there's no reason. I mean, these are qualified brokers. We want to make sure they're aligned. I'd love to see what they've done in terms of this kind of relationship with municipalities and driving development deals.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's kind of the discussion. Make sure they understand that expectation. I don't think they have to do a lot.
Yeah.
I'd like a little bit of clarity on, you know, maybe it's that, or give us some of these examples more than you did, and acknowledge that it's four properties and things like that. But so I don't see it. I think we want to push this and get somebody hired and working.
Yeah. For us.
So,
well, in that regard, I mean, if I'm, you know, why don't we see when we can set up meetings? And if it turns out I can't be, if they can do it in the next 2 weeks and they want to, then we can do that. It's been my experience. This committee doesn't necessarily move that fast. We're like, hey, you know, we got a program tomorrow. All right. So next steps on that.
If I could speak for a second.
Yeah.
A member of the public asked the commission has referenced the property when they're discussing what the RFP is about. And she was wondering if there's a definition for the property.
Well, public comment period has ended
mm-hmm.
as well. So usually we don't just have it, you know, so I'm willing to answer something. There's different properties that are village owned properties. There's a property on Madison. There's one right here on Lake Street. There's another one on Lake Street. So those are the properties that we're referring to. Any village owned property, anything that would be specific on redevelopment would be those. I think it's safe to say that the one that probably be most primed to redevelopment at this stage would be Madison and Ashland. But there's been some interest on Park and Lake as well. So that's to be full up front. That's the clarifying questions. But at this point, no more public comment. Happy to have that earlier, and I'm certainly happy to answer questions elsewhere as well. So next steps on this would be then reaching out to the three that you guys think would be the best.
Yep. I think we get back quickly with a couple questions,
mm-hmm.
get them to respond and see when they're available. With that, we see when they're available.
Yep. And figure out what, you know.
Yeah.
Explain exactly what we're looking for in a presentation.
Yeah.
And then, provide that feedback to the group.
Do you want to send an email, copy Tim and I, to each one of them? Or how do you want to handle that?
Yes. They all communicated with me via email. So that's usually my preferred method is respond the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you copy us so that we're on there, or do you not want to copy us? I don't always know the rules involved with emails and.
Because you guys don't have village issued emails, yeah. I would blind copy you so that you know that the request went out.
Okay.
But then not also reveal your email so that you don't get hounded by them in the future.
Okay.
But then
I'm not worried about that. I'm just
certainly happy to share.
You don't have to BCC me for that purpose, but if there's a conflict purpose or any sort of mm-hmm. local government laws, but no, you feel free to CC me. And
okay.
I prefer it, quite frankly.
No worries. I'll get those emails out in a couple of days.
And then we can set up meetings. And if I'm able to make it, that's fine. We'll see. We'll see how quickly they come back. You know, I mean, setting a meeting out 2 weeks out is sort of what I would do anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking two or three at earliest.
Yeah. Right. Well, we try to set something up middle of August for all of these. I know it's all right. Figure it out. They might be on vacation too, you know.
Right.
I'm not the only person that.
How about early August?
Early August, if we could, weren't we going to try to come back?
That could put
ambitious.
That might be a little ambitious. We'd have to see. Before this August meeting for sure, I think. Because isn't this August meeting August 1st?
I will be gone for that.
Jessica, is it realistic to have a goal and recommendation board by the September meeting?
I think that's fair.
I just would have to see what's on the village board agenda at the time. But I think at that point they're back to two meetings.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully then get it finalized and so that get end of the year at that point.
Totally.
Yeah, the village board is back to two meetings in September. So I think that would also make this a little easier for us. And the next meeting is of this group is Wednesday, August 7th, not the 1st.
Okay, I will be there for that. And if we set it up for that week, probably we'll be okay. Great. This is actually something I've been wanting to do for a long time, is to have a broker, as I was mentioning, help out the village. So we shelved it for some time because we were going through the zoning. So I'm glad that this is something that we're able to move forward with. We talked about number 5. So can we bring Walt back into the discussion?
Yes.
Since we've, can you move over?
Actually, I appreciate that, because then I can note Chairman Brown invited Walt back to the discussion.
Come on in.
Walt declined.
Yeah. The seat's better view. Thanks, Walt.
Sure.
Thank you.
So Katie missed it. Walt came in on the back end. We're talking about, I'll go over real quickly, Memorial Day Parade. I think we talked a little bit about it before, working with the chamber to have a somewhat of business concentration on veteran-owned businesses, for forest businesses. Still working out the details, but percolating there that should be cool.
Great.
Seems like a no-brainer. Number 6, North Avenue, Madison Street, Lake and Lathrop update.
Mm-hmm.
Any update?
Yes. So I do have an update for Lake and Lathrop. So this week, in late June, the judge overseeing the foreclosure case between Wintrust Bank and Lake and Lathrop Partners announced the case would be assigned to a new judge in the Cook County Chancery Division. As of this time, the case has not been assigned a new judge. We're still waiting for that reassignment. But the court-appointed receiver recently filed his report, which is available, explaining the actions and the costs expended since September of 2023. And Wintrust Bank continues to be responsible for the costs associated with the lawsuit and the maintenance of the site.
And are they being responsible with the maintenance of the site to the village's satisfaction?
We've had to ask them to come out and handle a couple code enforcement things, and they have responded within 1 or 2 days. So besides the fact that we have to ask for it, yeah. It's not like they're living at the site. So
yeah.
This point it's satisfactory. They've been responsive.
Do we know what the, okay, so it's still in receivership. There's the lawsuit going on here. I'm assuming that this is, do we have any sort of time frame with this? Probably not, but just curious, did they, any idea?
No, especially with the changing of the judge, there's no time frame at this point.
I have a bunch of questions, but.
Mm-hmm.
What are the grounds for the loss?
This is probably Sedgwick Properties fighting the
foreclosure.
Right? That was one of the questions too. But that wasn't perfectly clear. I mean,
this was with a judge handling a foreclosure.
Okay.
Due to the mechanic liens and the other,
it's more complicated. There's other weeds involved, so he had to send it to a different judge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it.
That makes sense. So. Well,
side of her area of expertise, if you will. So
this just makes it all the more of a, I think a technical term is a clusterfuck.
I was thinking, I never thought.
Yeah, no, I looked it up. But we were looking at it, like, I wanted to sound smart. So that's going to take a while to unravel. And they're going to want all those liens satisfied. So it's not just the bank, it's all the liens satisfied. So to get a clean title on that property, that's going to have to be resolved. Do we know, my understanding was there were some bids on the property that were accepted or thought reasonable by the bank?
I believe thought reasonable. I do not believe they were accepted because of the
ongoing
things. I don't know if anything was accepted at this point.
But it does seem that there was interest. But the problem is they don't know what the cost is going to be, right? So they're not going to – I wouldn't if I was the bank. But I guess The value is what the value is. No, they're not going to be able to. No, it's an unknown.
The issue is no developer can move forward. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, so even if Winthrop tomorrow said, let's move forward.
Yeah. Unless they're going to settle all the liens, and which they're not going to.
All that has to be settled before any developer has got to spend it.
How much does, when it, mechanics, how much would you expect, knowing that a bank, I know where a bank would be, but does anyone have any idea, like, what a subcontractor, what are they, how many cents on the dollar are they looking to get? Any idea?
Sure, they put it all in now.
Well, of course, they're throwing up legal fees and everything else in there, too, but I mean, like.
That's public record.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know.
I don't know.
Does the property value, where does it start making sense? Is there equity at all in that building for Wintrust? What kind of haircut do they have to take? Do they have to pay off all the liens?
Yeah, I mean, the best way to calculate that would be, did the village have visibility to the proposals that came in that were offered to Wintrust?
Yeah, they're public.
I found
they're public. You found right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I mean, you found them in the receiver's report, right?
They're up.
Yeah, how much would...
Somewhere. I might be wrong. Yeah.
We know what the
we could figure it out.
We know what the previous purchase offer was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it sold for. You know what the offers are, and I think that would be the best way to see. Okay, is this realistic? Is the bank going to take a huge haircut against what they loan on the property?
And then in the liens would all be public record as well. I mean, it's more of like, does it matter? Because now, okay, that's good to know, I guess. We'll have some idea, but we can't do anything about it.
Nothing.
Maybe have a guesstimate of timing.
That'd be it, right? Like, well, how unrealistic is this?
I would say it really doesn't matter because you're at the mercy of the court.
And that's, you're right, too. Because you know what? Even if the bank could do something, we don't know. Well, until we know what the mechanics mean, that's what complicates everything is all those mechanics.
And if the equity owners filed a lawsuit as well,
that
could
play in.
A really long
even if there were no liens, the fact that there's a lawsuit that has to be settled, it's
that's why, again, people, when this was going to happen, this lawsuit, these liens, this is why I was like, well, you got to stick with it. Hopefully they're able to pull it off, but this was sort of inevitable when the development wasn't going to go through.
Parents of the property said they've kind of maintained code, mm-hmm. but that's kind of what it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Once again, the village is not a party to this lawsuit. So there's very limited information that were shared with. And so all of your questions are really great questions, but we're not a party to it. So we're not in a position to begin to ponder those as well. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, the receiver's report, and then assuming this information is hot off the presses and that you'll continue to update the Lake and Lightthrope page on the website.
Yes. The update that I gave tonight will be published on Friday in the Village newsletter. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
or Thursday, sorry, Thursday in the news.
I mean, I don't know if it's necessary the purview of this committee, but it would seem like we should, if it's going to be a long time, it seems like it would be my suggestion that the village and the board of trustees that would do something with it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what you can do, but just to have it sitting there for two more years like that, it seems like a shame. I'm not sure what the answer is, but working with Wintrust, I don't know, clearing the site, even paving it over, I mean, they're not going to want to throw good money at bad. I get that, but something where it can be utilized. If it's going to be years, I don't know. How long do these?
Here my thoughts. There were improvements made to the property, and without knowing what the next development would be, but thinking that residential is because that was what was previously approved,
right?
And that is the most likely development. Any developer of residential might look at the old plan and say, I can save a little bit of money by not only getting a somewhat discounted price on the property, but also taking advantage of what's already been done.
Sure.
That, again, no, anything can change, but that seems the most likely. So that means you don't really touch it. You leave it alone. that stuff is
there's
just
some investment there that could be viewed potentially.
Well,
you're right, it's likely to be a similar plan.
I would say
similar on-site parking, assuming the construction's good. You know, you could roll it. It happens downtown. Tang's building on Wacker Drive, sat there. Was it
okay?
Related?
I will
rebuild the whole thing, but that was skeleton was there.
I will bet each one of you a dinner of your choice that none of the existing structure on Lake and Lathrop above ground will be utilized in any further development. I would be my guess, but I would defer. But I would defer. What's that?
Should I put that in the minutes?
Yeah, please put that in the minutes. No, but I would defer to you guys. So that makes sense. So, but it just seems, you know, I understand underground infrastructure, right? But some of the stuff that they built over, it seems like we'll see.
Through the planning, there's only so much you can do with getting parking on site.
Yeah.
So their solution is probably
already embedded with what they're doing.
I mean,
that's good. That's fair.
You know. So,
yeah, I mean with my economic development committee hat on, I'm trying to think what we could tell them, what we could suggest or recommend to a village that could help expedite that process in any way, and I just don't know. You know, probably honestly, going back to the previous item, promoting the village, promoting properties, you know, is just probably the best thing to get more developer interest. And sooner or later, they're going to sell. So something's going to get happy. There's going to be a judgment and there's going to be a settlement. And so,
that's a very good point. Control what you can control, which I don't think we have much control on Lake and Lathrop at all right now. What we do have control over is hiring a broker, developing a force in general. That makes a ton of sense.
This might be lame, but to your point, Kyler, about if it's going to be ugly for 2 years, is there a way for us to make it look better?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, and there's not a lot of that isn't in our control, but what is in our control as a village or a community?
Totally.
Yeah, you can certainly
like paint the fence or something, like a mural. Like a
community mural. Like,
totally. Right? That's kind of more what I was thinking.
Fair to go to the receiver and say, we have to live with this. And, you know, we're, and really kind of ask that receiver, pressure that receiver, you know, put as much pressure as you can to do exactly what you're saying.
Well, you can also.
In the village's best interest to make the site look attractive.
And therefore, in their best interest too. You know, instead of just, you know, asking them for a favor, let's look for what they benefit out of it. If this looks nicer, you're going to more people. It's going to be a better story, right? To your point earlier, like.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's
maybe
the receiver and the bank.
We
didn't put up a wooden fence.
I think if you get the kids to paint some little kid mural.
Scout troop.
Girl Scout troop. Every grade.
It's ugly now. It's about that right in the middle.
Turn something up white into like something where kids, you know, they're like, oh no, you're going to tear it down. They're going to be mad when we tear it down. We're going to have to take the fence and we'll put it someplace like in one of the schools, you know,
who has been communicating with the receiver from the village?
The village administrator and then our building and zoning inspector about the code enforcement things.
So maybe that's something agree on that we could just say, you know, can they have a conversation with the receiver about what can we do to enhance? Because it's
that's a recommendation we can make.
Yep.
Vote on it. Yeah. So you're pretty eloquent today.
I'd make the motion that the village administrator contact the receiver. Actually, this is a recommendation to the village that they asked the village administrator to contact the village or the receiver. And consider enhancements to the property during this delay that would benefit both, you know, residents and then potential further buyers.
Perfect.
It's a good thing that's recorded.
I second.
Hold on, just second. Yeah, sorry.
You need a second.
Yeah, and I second that with the the thought it could be something. Actually, I'm not going to add anything more to it. I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, conversationally, with the idea, something like we were saying, painting a mural. But, you know, it does not have to be high cost on the receiver. Something
my hunch, so you're gonna, it's a construction site, so you got a liability, so it's gonna be a fence of that size. I don't, I mean, I appreciate the idea of maybe doing something nicer, but so you're limited to a canvas of that, most likely,
for sure.
But you could still do something. I mean, I agree. You mentioned Christmas lights last time,
Christmas lights,
holiday lights.
You could do that. You could,
maybe there's something at least.
Yeah, there's, all kinds, there's so many more creative things than there used to be.
Totally.
Just putting up live.
Absolutely.
Totally. I mean, you could paint, you know, what they have over the those chain link fences. They have that kind of tarp material. You could do something that you would paint elsewhere and then put it over there.
You
It's actually
development. It could be a gardenscape that's on a.
Just an idea. You could actually use. You could watch movies, not movies, but you could. No, wait. Wait a sec. Here's an idea.
Garage and
you can use it. You can. Isn't there like a plain wall that's exposed right there? That's on the building over. I mean, you could do things there for Christmas. You know, you could have lights on there for Christmas lights. There's a lot of stuff you could do.
Okay.
I know you're gonna. You got to be coming up with ideas at some point. Help me out. You're good with this. But, anyways, that'd be great. Let's try to turn something that's not awesome into something that might bring some joy or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Madison Street.
I do not have any updates on Madison.
No updates.
Mm-mm. Or North at this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think really the next thing is to get the broker. And
there was a new business opening, though.
Right.
I have other business. That's the next item.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to other business. Yeah.
So we do have a business that, is about to open. It's called Hub Kitchen. They're in the final stages of getting approval. They are at, right next to Yoke on North Avenue. It was formerly at 349 Ashland, where at the schoolhouse, the teacup. So it's a commercial kitchen. So it's like a restaurant incubator. But like if you have a business and you need a clean kitchen to do work in, it's not a sit down restaurant place. It's a work out of place.
No, those are needed.
Daily bagel and something to launch.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that right?
Out of 349,
the west side that we looked at that popped up. It was cool.
I mean, there's a lot of demand right now.
Totally, it's hard to find a commercial.
But I was mentioned. Actually, I was referencing the ice cream shop that opened the last meeting.
Do you mean Ice Baby?
That's it.
So they opened, I think, 2 years ago.
No.
Good Lord, I know about it.
At least one. At least this is their second season. Also on North Avenue.
I noticed it until.
Do you know their address?
2 months ago.
No. Okay.
Google gave me the address.
We can Google the address for sure. They were here last summer. We knew they were here last summer. Yes. But yes, they're, yeah. So please stop by.
Oh, yeah. It's the old, what's it called, boys? Something is also moving into the Ashland spot, too, right?
Yes. So it's called Black Fodder. It's a coffee place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're a little farther from opening still. So.
Okay.
At 349 Ashland.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's for sale. I know
somebody purchased it earlier this year. Yeah. It's called Black Fodder. Fodder. It's a coffee guy. Mm-hmm. I know.
Doing well.
Do you know, is it affiliated with the incubator? Is it the same people?
I believe there's at least some of the same people. I know that one of the people that use that kitchen is associated with it now. I'm not exactly sure of the exact business structure that was at the location, but they make reference to it was over there. So
you would think
any village support, not financial support at all?
So not at this time. No, we don't have business.
Grant.
Yeah, like there's no program like that at this time, so we have not financially supported in that way, but obviously we've done everything we can to work with them on the permitting process and getting the building up to code. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're still doing the chamber membership.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. And Kava is really close to opening as well. So I reached out to their... That's going to be in the old Boston Market. So
Center
that's on the south side of the the corner space. So we're hopeful that they... I think they said maybe as early as late August, early September. And we were looking to see what we can do to support them in their opening. A lot of people are very excited for that one.
They've done a good job. Yeah. Mid-America leasing that spot back up. It's not been a it's not been a great market. Whole Foods is bouncing in there. They got the dental practice.
I saw there was another retailer. Well, I was going to say it's in the. I saw on a retail plan that Noodles was showing.
We don't officially know anything yet. Yeah. But we suspect that. I don't, nobody has submitted permits yet. So
I heard. I that's why I
Well, we can talk with
Big 12.
Ah, that'd be cool.
Not a food user. No, not that, but,
In that area.
Section of the vacancy.
I always thought that, you know, they always said that Oak Park couldn't.
Vacant next to PSW and all
that. Yeah. There's a
Children's Place over there by DSW formerly. Yeah.
That was said that because we had Oak Brook and some other places, Oak Park could never hold like a Marshall Fields. We used to have a Marshall Fields, so that's why it didn't do well.
Huge.
Totally. I remember I used to shop there. I loved it. But then it went away. But I always thought we could do well with some of the out, you know, the second the J. Crew outlets and stuff like that. So the maybe Nordstrom Rack. Anyways. So that's good. They seem to be doing good over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I will also say I've been noticing, maybe it's just one of those things you notice what you're looking for at times, but I've been noticing the village's presence on things like Facebook, trying to highlight businesses and, you know, other places. I don't know if that's new, but.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right.
I had a couple follow-ups from our May meeting.
Yeah.
So first of all, about Facebook, Village of River Forest is an organization. So organizations cannot join.
Right.
Groups like what you guys have. So we cannot be in there, but you can repost our posts into those communities or those groups. Second of all, no, it's not new. We've been doing that for at least the whole time we've had constant contact in our newsletters, which is at least like 2 years.
The algorithms are working though.
It must be coming. Your phone overheard you. We have been promoting one River Forest business in each newsletter, which is weekly and monthly, I think for the last 2 years. So we do rotate that list and we try to highlight a new business when it opens. So when Kava opens or Hub Kitchen, you'll see that one come up sooner than if it was just put at the bottom of the list. But we do try to highlight those. And if you have businesses that are in town that want to be highlighted, let us know. That's also one of the ways we know to let them know about the chamber. So that's really helpful. We talked about business registrations before. So serendipitously enough, I went to a conference in the beginning of June, which is why we didn't have the June meeting. And I talked to a vendor who did exactly what we were talking about. The issue with that particular model is from my perspective as a River Forest person is that their whole basis was built upon, we charge the business owners a fee when their space becomes vacant. And then that fee is how we pay this consultant who would then register and keep track of the actual vacancy and then allegedly store the contact information if we had code enforcement issues, and then they would have to notify us when that space no longer became or was leased up and in order to get off of this vacant registry list. But our big my number one red flag was we don't charge, like we would have to create a fee, which would be new to the village, to charge businesses.
You said businesses, but you mean the property owner.
I'm sorry. The property owner, the landlord, when that space becomes vacant, which it seems to kind of work against what we're interested in, which is supporting our landlords when they are missing the rent, essentially. So that was kind of where I was not really pleased with that structure. I understood they were trying to say it was low cost to the village, but I'm not trying to make money off of our tenants, our landlords that don't have tenants. So I did talk to the fire department. Our fire department requires a physical inspection of all of our commercial spaces once a year. And so I have communicated with the secretary and with the fire marshal, and they're going to be giving me information of their list of inspections. And sometimes they are inspecting, I believe they cannot inspect a space that's vacant unless the landlord opens the space, right? So they can't, because the fire department, contrary to all belief, the fire department does not have a key to everyone's space. So they would have to be let into the unit. And so generally speaking, this is roughly a vacant property list, right? Because they make a list and go, oh, 123 Main Street, couldn't get in it this time, it's vacant. And then now they inspect that in April. Now they're going to come back next April. And it could have leased up the next day as far as the fire department's sure. concerned, because they're there for a very different function. But to me, it helps to at least go, oh, 123 Main Street is vacant. And now when I'm out at lunch or we're out driving around, you can go, oh, it looks like somebody just went in there. So I would be willing to share that with you. It's obviously public information, obviously, because you would be able to see the address is vacant. So I would be willing to compile that list. It's just that it could be up to 11 months old. but then I can provide that in our monthly report in our monthly packet and make that available. These are the properties that the fire department has indicated are vacant at this time. In this case, it would be as of June.
So the first thing I'm thinking of is if I'm a broker, one of the guys we're talking about, they love that list, right? Because those are all, I mean, possible, you know, people, look, you can go up to them and say, I'm the broker that works for River Forest. No one knows River Forest better than me. And you got a vacant spot here. So I'm sure they would love to know that too. And it's public. It's something we can share with anyone, right?
Mm-hmm. So the only thing would be like, picture the town center, right? That space that's kind of right by DSW.
They would know that was off the list, yeah.
Well, but there's other, like somebody owns the strip mall where the State Farm is and Frank's right. Deli, right? Like, so if there's a vacancy over there, like the broker for the village would be for village owned properties.
Right. No, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I believe there would be a conflict if they started marketing these private properties, even though they're commercial. I think there would be a conflict if they were, because if you and I own strip malls and they're constantly working with you and they're not working with me to market my properties, then I now have a problem with the village.
Yeah, I mean, there are times when there's, you're on both sides of the same deal.
My thought is that it's a good idea to share that with this group, because the mm-hmm. purpose of this group is to come up with ideas that help, you know, fill mm-hmm. those type of vacancies. And I think if nothing more than we see them and we say, wow, I wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea. And you bring it here and we talk about it and we can do any one thing without even ever needing to, you know, even share it with a broker, just solicit someone that we know that might be interested in it. Right. That's a win. So I think it's really good.
Well, great. Just to try to make it great. Yeah. See how we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they showed me one in May and they sweet, sweet man handed me the list. So I don't have it for you today because it's also 2 months old. And there were about 8 properties on it. So, which I thought was pretty good, but also kind of fits with what we kind of see. So, you know, as they...
That's a manageable number. I thought it was going to be so much higher.
You know, I think right, so... The space is like what you see at the, you know, the town center. They, for one, they got a broker marketing it. It's to the benefit of the brokers representing tenants that they know about it, and they...
Mm-hmm.
The spaces that a hub kitchen could fill, though, those totally. Are the things people are aware of, and a creative backfill use, you know, for that. So those are the things that I think this group could, you know, kind of come and brainstorm, because they don't. I mean, that's a great use. I mean, totally. It doesn't have to be.
Oh, that's going to be. There's that the old Capri. I just drove by it today. It has been vacant for with the sign that says Capri.
Yes,
it's over here. Yeah, sorry.
I'd love to see a little bit of the activity, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Not far from the ice cream place.
Great.
The other thing that we talked about was a new business welcome letter. And so we have an intern right now who came to us who is actually coincidentally our OPRF grad who connected with the Cook County Opportunity Works program. So they're with us basically till the second week of August. And so they want to be an urban planner. And so I'm trying to plug them into anything I can in the building department. So I'll have them working on getting the business letter started and then hopefully have a draft in August-ish so that we can look at that and see what we can get out. I'd like it to be a letter with links to the website so that we don't have to constantly try to update things. But also, I think email would be a better way to market this rather than to try to mail something 100%. To, we don't know who is receiving the mail at this location. And if it is a larger corporate place, then the, you know, things get lost. So
I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
That's awesome. Those are two great. That may be the best other business that we've ever had. God. Yeah.
Did you have other things?
I do.
Cool.
We are relaunching our Spotlight Awards and we are focusing on businesses again as opposed to business leaders because the pandemic is over. At least I'm claiming that. And it is time to have winners and losers again. So right now we've received about 270 nominations from local folks. I will say that River Forest is very underrepresented in that list. You know, right? So folks like Ice Ice Baby, we'd love to see them get awards. So feel free to tell everybody that you know about nominations. They do close on July 19th. We will then be also tapping some village leadership to help us whittle those 300 and something nominations down to 6 winners. So I'm going to be a very hated person in both villages for a little while. And then also the chamber is finalizing its new strategic plan. I'm really excited about it. It really focuses more on community development, just not our business members. So really excited to bring that to you guys probably in October is when it'll be released. So, you know, lots of new things happening over here.
That's cool. I voted River Pizza.
I saw.
Yeah. You're going to them individually?
I do. They go straight to my phone. It is my secret passion.
Oh, you're demented.
Did you say the deadline was July?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's easy. It's easy to vote. I'll put my plug in. It takes 2 seconds. In the chamber, you know, if you, I don't do a ton of you know, email chatter and stuff like that, but I do that when they're not too intrusive. I get the newsletter from before, stuff like that, but that's a good one. So I'll put that plug in as well. Anything else? All right. With that, make a move. Do we need to approve anything that we couldn't approve before? No, we got the minutes in.
It was just the minute.
We have the motion to recommend with the receivership. Okay. Motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second. All in favor? Awesome. Thanks, guys.